Greetings, Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
In this post-Oscar week special, we're going to not talk too much about the Oscars, but we'll talk a little bit about them, but then we'll talk a little bit about Jack the Giant Slayer, 21 and Over, The Last Exorcism, Part 2. I don't quite get that one still. Phantom and some DVD and Blu-ray.
So pretty much what we're saying is we are going to talk about the anti-Oscars.
Yeah, that's what I love about Oscar season is whatever comes out in the theaters, like the weeks of and surrounding, have no chance anywhere of winning any Oscar anything. So, but let's talk about the box office instead. We were sort of close. I declare my winning for saying that Identity Thief was going to
win. You win. I will freely give you that win.
Yes.
Congratulations.
And I was only $1 million away.
Not
I said
bad.
$15 million. It ended up winning with about $14 million.
It's unfortunate, but...
It's not a good movie.
No.
Just because I'm pretty... That's the one thing. Like, it's like when you do Oscar predictions, if you've ever had to do an interview with Oscar, they're like, who do you think's going to win? I go, well, I think this person's going to win, even though I thought they were terrible.
Right.
Like, if Helen Hunt would have been odds on to win, I would have been like, yeah, she's awful in that movie. She's terrible in The Session. She's, like, the worst thing. She is in the way everywhere. But if she were odds on favorite, I would have picked her. Because
that's how it goes.
That is how I roll. But you said A Good Day to Die Hard, and even though that one didn't win, you came pretty close.
Did have a little over 10.
Yeah, it was a little over 10, and you said 12 million. Yep. So we were pretty accurate, alarmingly accurate compared to our last couple weeks.
It's been a rough year.
Yeah. So yeah, Identity Thief won with 14 million, which I think is, what, this third or fourth week of release? So it kind of came out.
Yeah, I think the third.
Which was a surprise. And then Snitch at 13 million, which was a terrible film.
Yes.
Escape from Planet Earth is actually still rocking.
Go figure.
11 million. How'd that happen?
I have no idea.
Because every other time since, like, Hoodwinked, anytime the Weinsteins released one of these animated films, they bomb and bomb hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So then you had Safe Haven at 10 million and Die Hard 10 million. There's a little bit more for Safe Haven, but it's pretty much a horse race between those two. Then Dark Skies at 8.2. Did you even bother to go see Dark Skies?
No. No.
I heard it wasn't good.
Although, you know, I was having lunch yesterday, and there were a couple of little old ladies who had just come in to have their lunch, and they had just seen Dark Skies, and they loved it. So
they were like,
so there you go.
We're going to go play bridge now.
I know. Two little old ladies, they love Dark Skies. So take that for what it's worth.
Okay. A
couple little old ladies love Dark Skies.
They didn't go see, like, Lincoln or
or
any of the award
films? No, we just
saw
Dark Skies.
Oh, Dark Skies with the aliens and all. They were just really cool.
I know. It just kind of cracked me up over
in my brain, they're from Minnesota.
All little old ladies are from Minnesota.
Oh, speaking of northern stuff, because your husband's Canadian, as we've pointed out.
He is,
before. I was on a cruise this last week.
Right.
And it was awesome, by the way.
We went
to the Bahamas. We went to Nassau. We went to Coco Key. And after we got off of, I think it was after we got off the boat, got off the tender from Coco Key and we got back on the boat, I said to my wife, I'm like, well, let's go get something light for lunch, because it was like at 3:30 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was several hours until we ate, because we had late seating. You know, we were a while before we were going to have dinner, but but we hadn't had lunch. All I'd had were like, you know, well, I guess we did eat lunch, because we eat all the time. But I said, let's go, we'll get a salad or something. So we went to the dining room, and I was thinking of getting a salad. I didn't get a salad. And then by the time you get to the salad, you're like, I don't got room for the salad. But you know what they had? They had a poutine station.
They had poutine. And I know how you love your poutine.
Well, I love the concept. It's weird because it's like chocolate-covered bacon. Have you ever had chocolate-covered bacon?
I have, yes.
It sounds awesome. And it's not bad, but it's not what I'm going to stampede to.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way I am with poutine. I love gravy. I love French fries. I love cheese.
I like poutine.
And poutine's good, but maybe it's just I don't eat enough of it. I should eat more.
You should probably,
a little
bit more.
They did have
an acquired taste.
And they had a poutine station. That was great, so I took pictures of
that. That's awesome.
That's the only food I actually took pictures of. Well, that and the head of a pig, because they cook a pig.
Nice.
And then they had its head and had these strawberries for its eyes and an apple in its mouth, and it looked like a demonic pig. But it was a delicious demonic pig.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time, though.
Yeah, poutine.
And you have a nice tan.
Well, it's a tan now.
I'm kind of jealous.
It's a tan now. I should take off my shirt because I wore a shirt the whole time.
Please don't.
It's just like, I was lobster head through this whole thing. But
I've
learned.
It has a nice color now. You know, thank you. Instead of being, you know, the typical pasty looking film critic like the rest of us are.
Fat, white, and pasty the way I normally am. But no, that's the way to. But I've learned going to tropical places enough. I've been to like Hawaii and the Caribbean and Mexico and everything. That if it's like a 7-day cruise, I'll have to work on getting the tan But if it's just that 3-day, it's enough time to burn and that's it. So I wore a shirt the whole time. So yeah, I was the fat guy on the beach with the shirt. But I can handle sunburns on my arms and my face. Mm-hmm. It's when it's on your back that kills me.
Oh yeah.
So. And that always happens to me. But not this time.
Good for you.
Because I was the fat guy with the shirt. But anyways, poutine aside, there was also Silver Linings Playbook, Warm Bodies, Beautiful Creature Side Effect, kind of rolling down the list.
That was a box office, by the way, in case you forgot that we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Because I kind of did.
That has nothing to do with poutine. But Die Hard led again overseas. That's another thing to note. Internationally, it's doing quite well. And it'll probably top Die Hard 4, which did very well overseas.
Which is crazy.
And then The Hobbit opened in China, and it opened pretty big, so it has a good chance of hitting $1 billion.
There you go.
One real quick thing about the cruise before we give our contact information. One more thing. We parasailed, and we ran into a couple who are from Grand Rapids, which is one of our flagship. Which is our flagship Michigan station, is in Grand Rapids. And I told him, and he helps manage or like corporate manage a Jimmy John's and a Hungry Howie's, yeah.
Yes.
And we had that. They don't have it in Columbus, but we had some of that. They had one in Florida when we were getting ready to go on the plane. That's great stuff. So big shout out to those folks who parasailed with us, who
nice.
I never ever asked their name because I'm.
Did you tell them to listen though?
I told them. I said, yeah. I said, listen.
There
I said,
you go.
We're on Saturday nights and
shout out to Grand Rapids.
Yeah. Hello. Woohoo. So anyways, if you get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456.
And it does work.
It does work. It happens. And then we have fatguysatthemovies.com as our website and on facebook.com/FGATM. If you want to reach me on Twitter and yell at me, you can go to twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I am KDK Reviews. You can also find me at realdiscovery.org and nightsandweekends.com.
That's right. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies, as we said, with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And with the next 2 minutes or so, let's talk about your Oscar. What do you thought about the Oscars? Because, you know, it's late. I mean, it's late in the week, but we had the Oscars. What did you think?
You know, I think there were a lot of surprises, more than I was expecting,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, last week we kind of thought, we know what's coming.
I thought Spielberg was a shoo-in.
Yeah, that one was a shock for me.
Spielberg was the Jan Brady of this year's Oscars.
Angley.
He's gonna throw a football. Angley's going to throw a football and hit Spielberg in the nose with it.
Poor Spielberg.
My nose. Marsha. Angley.
Yeah, a few surprises, though. Mm-hmm. Christoph Waltz, we weren't expecting that.
It was one of those that I didn't that pick one, him, but it could have been any of them.
Well, yeah, that category could have gone up.
They were
anyway.
All up there. Yeah.
Yep. And we were just talking about that. Brave winning Best Animated.
Yeah.
I wasn't really expecting that.
I think that's probably one of the only real big awards that Brave won, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
But it was always, there was no clear front runner in terms of the anime, because Wreck-It Ralph was winning stuff, Brave and Paranorman.
Yeah,
all three of them were just cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pirates didn't win anything. Sorry, guys.
No, nope.
That was still a good movie, though. Anything else kind of turn your head on that one?
Well, I think everybody talked about Seth MacFarlane. Which,
were you offended?
No, there were a few things that I said that wasn't really funny at all.
You know what I'm
there
offended?
There are a lot of things that weren't really funny at all, but it's the Oscars.
I'm offended with people getting offended over everything.
It's true.
Stop being offended. Good Lord, we're in the 21st century, for crying out loud. And all Seth MacFarlane, and I didn't even watch the ceremony because I was in the middle of international waters, eating and drinking until I threw up.
I can't blame you there.
but he's the new Don Rickles. That's what he does. That's his shtick.
Well, yeah, and you have to expect that that's what's coming.
Yeah.
You get Seth MacFarlane to do the Oscars, and that's what you're going to get.
And I'm sure it was pretty tame compared to what he normally does anyways.
Yeah, and I know that they're trying to make the Oscars young and hip, but at the same time, it loses some of the class that you expect from the Oscars. You know, the old school Hollywood
streaking and people getting drunk and doing speeches.
No, that's the Golden Globes.
Well, streaking.
Well,
David Niven.
There's that.
David Niven.
But,
he didn't streak.
You just expect something to be a little bit classier at the Oscars. That's traditionally how it is. And, having Seth MacFarlane was, not a very Oscar pick.
Not
I
so
guess.
Classy.
No.
Maybe they'll burp in the next year. I'll burp later. We gotta go to a break, and when we come back, more on Kristen's views of the Oscars.
and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Crispin Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We were just talking about the Oscars, and by the time we got to the break, I was just starting a new thought, because you know that's how I work.
That's how the show is. It's all new thoughts. Yeah. We don't linger with old thoughts.
No.
We throw those old moldy thoughts out and just give you nonstop new stuff.
Yes, because we're kind of ADD like that.
That's right. So what did you have to say?
So we were talking about Seth MacFarlane hosting the Oscars and, you know, how it isn't quite as classy as it used to be. And it just reminds me of the movie Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Now, this is not a very big movie.
It's not even that good of a movie.
No, but it's one that I come back to time and time again.
It's very prophetic.
Yes, about how people get stupider and stupider and stupider. As time goes on.
If you haven't seen Idiocracy, watch like the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
Because it's by Mike Judge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you who did, of course, Beavis and Butthead and
Office Space.
And if you watch that first 5 minutes, he lays out the evolutionary explanation of why people are getting stupider.
And it's brilliant.
And when you get done with it, you're like really terrified
because
it sounds very plausible.
And I think of things like that often. And in it, they have this Oscar ceremony. Mm. And it's the most idiotic Oscar ceremony you will ever see. And I believe the Oscar for Best Picture goes to Butt.
Butt the movie.
Yeah.
Which I believe is just 3 hours of a guy's butt on screen.
And occasionally farting.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's it. And that's what I kind of think of when I see Seth MacFarlane hosting the Oscars. I'm like, here we go.
I don't need an Oscar
Best
ceremony
Best Picture
for
goes
that.
To Butt the movie.
I don't need an Oscar ceremony for that because I just have to, you know, look in the mirror after spending a week on a cruise,
nice.
Eating rich food.
There you go.
There was that mental image for everybody. You are welcome. My pick for Best Picture for next year, But the Movie.
But the Movie.
But the Movie.
I look forward to that coming out in November.
Yeah. I can't wait for the awards screener.
When all the smart movies come out.
I can't wait for the awards
screener. That's the smartest movie of the year.
What sort of swag are they going to send us? What would they send for that? I mean, you can't even send, like, underpants because that defeats the purpose of the movie. I'm fascinated with Butt the Movie.
So there you go. We'll work on that.
Yeah. Let's talk about some other movies.
I don't think it gets much better from here on out, actually.
That have a little more depth than Butt.
Not much.
All right. Mm. The first one we're going to talk about is The Last Exorcism Part 2. If you thought the last exorcism was the last one, well, then think again as demons try to emerge from a woman in a mental institution. I think that's what the movie's about. They didn't screen it for us.
There you have it.
I once was lost.
You can't run from him. He has great plans for you.
But now I'm found.
Piece of him is still inside you.
We
will summon him.
Are you certain?
Yes, it's right there.
I don't know. It's like when they did the Ghosts of Jordan. They did the Haunting in Connecticut. They did a sequel to it. What's it called? A Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia.
Right.
It's like A Haunting in Connecticut 2, we're no longer in Connecticut.
Yeah, I loved when this one came out, and everybody was posting their favorite, you know, titles for what The Last Exorcism 2 should be.
Yeah.
And mine was, no, really, this time.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It's the last one.
No, seriously. This is the last one.
Yes.
This is it.
I like, first of all, did you see the first The Last Exorcism, the penultimate exorcism?
I don't believe I did.
Yeah. It's not bad.
If I did, I didn't remember it.
It was found footage, and I hate found footage now, but I thought it was an interesting movie. This is not found footage, although I think they dip into it a little bit.
Gotcha.
But one of the things they did with the it's so hard to say, the first Last Exorcism. This is utter madness. It's like the ravings of a lunatic. It is like they had some insane studio head just vomiting out titles, and they like, that's good. Pick some corn and half digested
the sequel.
Karen, yes. But the sequel. But part two. Can we say but any more times in this episode?
We're not that far into this episode. So, yes, we probably can.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of room for but in this episode. Just like Jell-O. Anyways, the original first the original Last Exorcism was interesting because what they did is they got a contortionist to play the role of the girl being exorcised.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember that.
So all the moves she did were real, was unaided by digital effects.
Hmm.
Which is really impressive, although you can achieve that with digital effects. It's just kind of cool that they did that. I thought it was a neat way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same woman plays in this one, so she'll be, you know, twisting.
Yeah, I think
up
it's the same character.
Sort of like what I do when I, you know, try and get off the couch. I don't know. It's March technically.
Yeah,
coming out
doesn't really help it at this point.
So, anyways, I think this is going to get a preemptive suck from us.
Yep.
Preemptive suck. You are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer-Kramer.
Hello.
And let's real quickly jump into Jack the Giant Slayer.
Yes. In the latest fairy tale update, a mild-mannered farm boy sets off to save a beautiful, headstrong princess from an army of man-eating giants.
The legends are true.
Elmont, assemble a team of your best men.
Yes, sir.
Bring back my daughter.
Your Majesty, I want to volunteer.
What do you suppose is up there?
I never suppose. I simply prepare for everything.
At last, mankind have returned.
They're uglier than I remember.
My mission is to find and return the princess.
I love the man-eating giants part of it.
Well, of course.
It's totally ridiculous. Man-eating. Let me just say, I'm really upset that this movie ignores the scientific concept of phototropism.
Really?
That is where the entire film fell apart for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Do you know what phototropism is?
No.
It's the tendency for green plants to grow toward light.
Oh, there you go.
Because they all do. And usually that's upward because the light's usually the sun.
Yes.
But if you put a plant in a dark room and you put a light on the side of the wall, it'll grow outward.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't happen in this movie, so the entire movie's moot because it ignores that scientific concept.
You know, I have to say that of everything in this movie, that was one thing that I did not really pay much attention to.
You didn't pick up on that?
No, that one didn't bother me.
Did you like this movie?
No.
No?
No, I didn't.
Not at all.
It had its moments.
Yeah.
And there are some times where I was like, okay, this looks kind of cool. Like the beanstalk, even though maybe it grows the wrong way, it does look kind of cool. And as they're climbing it, you know, it was kind of imaginative. And you have the whole fairy tale setting and the, you know, kingdom and all this. But there is just so much going on in this story that is so ridiculous. It's hard to take any of it seriously. I mean, you start out with this opening origin story.
Yeah.
That's animated to look like a video game from like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it looks like a pre-visual.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Pre-vis department.
And that's just the beginning.
They just didn't have time
here
to finish that animation.
Which you would think, considering that it was supposed to come out last summer, that in the 9 months that they bumped this movie, that maybe they could have touched that up a little
they're
bit.
They're like, no, we'll leave it. It's, well, you know what? I think what they were going for, and they failed in it, but they were going for, like, remember in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, they had the shadow puppets,
yeah,
and so they went to a more rustic look for an artistic. It
didn't
work.
This doesn't work.
Although I will say the CGI giants look better than the trailers led you to believe.
Oh, there you go. But they still look terrible.
Some of them did. I think
they
like
still
the first,
look ridiculous.
The first real money shot of the giant was really well done. It's sort of like Clue from Tron Legacy.
Yeah, okay.
Some key parts looked really good, and then the rest kind of they ran out of time.
They're ridiculous, and you know they have to give them crazy hair or you know something else or you
they're
know,
named Fee Fi Fo and Fum.
Right.
Oh my
or
god.
Or they're just you know unnecessarily disgusting because for some reason that's funny.
There's boogers.
And yes, there are. And
actually, we gotta go to a break.
Oh, okay.
We have more to talk about Jack the Giant Slayer, and we'll talk about 21 and over when we come back.
Yeah. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer-Kramer.
Yes.
We are in the middle of talking about Jack the Giant Slayer, which, you know, we are all over the place this week. It's one crazy episode.
We're the ramblings of a madman.
I blame your vacation.
It is my, it totally is.
And the Oscars.
I
blame Seth MacFarlane. That's who I blame.
I blame Quavon Shanae Wallace, because you know what she is.
I do.
Anyway, did you see the video I posted on Facebook of myself coming out of the water like Ursula Andress in
No,
Doctor
I try
No.
to avoid things like that.
I did. It happened. And then it was great. There's a guy on a dock and he saw it and he's like, nice movie.
Nice.
Totally got it.
So anyway.
I actually didn't mind Jack the Giant Slayer. I thought it was going to be terrible. From the trailers, it looked quite awful. And Bryan Singer, in my opinion, has gone down quite a bit because he knew Superman Returns was really kind of lame and Valkyrie was kind of silly.
Yeah.
But this one, I was going in with very low expectations. And when I saw it, I was like, it was okay. And take kids to it. I took my son and he thought it was okay.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those movies that it's completely unnecessary. And
it got better, I thought.
And the whole thing with the giants. Now, the main giant, I have to tell you, I had a huge problem with this thing. Because the main giant has two heads.
Yeah.
And one of them is just on his shoulder, and it's a little head that all it does, it's like this dim-witted head that all it does is growl.
It's the most offensive head of a giant ever.
I would say so,
It's
an
offensive head to a lot of people.
Yeah, it was terrible. And I just, it's hard to take a movie seriously when you've got, you know, one of the main villains with two heads, and it didn't work for me.
Yeah. There's massive logic holes in this.
There are some serious problems.
Huge ones. And it just gets it kind of goes completely insane and off the rails at the very, very end, which I won't say why, but when you get to the very end of the movie, you're like, wait. Now that doesn't fit at all. I mean, you can sit there and ignore reality for a movie that takes place in medieval times with giants and beanstalks.
Well, and the whole thing is, it has nothing to do with the original story.
Well,
I mean, when you get beyond the character named Jack and a beanstalk and a giant, there is nothing else in this story that has anything to do with the original.
Mickey and the Beanstalk had more to do with the original story. Anyways, your final grade on Jack the Giant Slayer.
It kind of sucks.
I'm going to actually say it kind of rocks just because I found it mildly entertaining.
Okay.
So the next one we're going to talk about is, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Kristen, what are we talking about next?
The next one is 21 and Over. A group of college kids sets out to celebrate their friend's 21st birthday on the eve of an important med school interview.
I am super psyched to see Jeff Chang.
Are we sure it's cool to surprise him like this?
Yeah, dude, as his oldest friends on Earth, we have a moral obligation to get him drunk as...
Jeff Chang!
Listen, I can't go out tonight.
Jeff Chang, you're 21 years old now. Your a-hole dad isn't here anymore.
Your interview is at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Be rested, be sharp. Do not embarrass me.
Yeah, so where are we?
Jeff Chang, where do you live?
Now, you seem very eager to talk about this one.
Well, here's the thing that's so funny about it. First of all, a little bit of disclosure. I snuck into an early screening of this like a
month
ago.
Yes, you did.
And I saw it in a theater filled with college students, which was an interesting way to do it because that's the target market. And I'm chuckling at stuff, but I look like the dirty old man because I'm like, I'm 40. I'm in my 40s. So, like, there's a scene in there, and it's when they go into the dorm room and there's the two girls there blindfolded. They're, I'm not going to give away, but I just start chuckling at that. I must look like the biggest pervert there because I'm like, they're in their underwear.
It's
kind of like when I saw Material Girls.
Those
the
of us who know you completely understand.
The Haley and Hilary Duff movie, Material Girls. I went and saw that alone.
Nice. Yeah, that's a little creepy.
And it was all like moms and their daughters, and then this big fat guy just walks in. And it also didn't help that I was in the back going, oh, yeah! All right.
Oh.
I've creeped out.
Anyway.
Kristen Dreyer. Anywho. No,
it wouldn't be a show without
last year,
being creeped out.
You know, I was thinking about this in the shower today.
Great.
You are a good influence on me because whether I need it or not, I take my shower at least once a week.
Well, that's good.
Before I come into the magical studio in the sky.
I'm glad to hear that.
And, because I don't want to offend you because the magical studio in the sky is not very big.
No, and it gets very warm.
Yes. So I'm clean. We talked about that once.
That is nice, yes.
Anyways, 21-01. I saw Project X last year and...
It was terrible.
Every minute of it.
Yeah, there was not a lot you could say about that movie that was any good.
Such a bad movie.
It was terrible.
And then I saw the posters and the standees and stuff like that for 21 Over, and I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be another Project X.
Yeah.
And I was afraid that it was just a remnant of me getting old. Am I just turning into an old fart watching them, get all these kids whippersnappers partying, 23 Skidoo, or I don't know.
Nice.
Somehow I'm from the 20s. But so I was kind of worried because people are like, oh, you're going to hate 21 and over. And so I went and saw it, and I'm like, no, I actually thought it was kind of fun. It has a little bit of heart. It has some decent characters.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this movie, because normally this is the kind of movie that I absolutely hate. I mean, even the ones that are kind of popular, these outrageous comedies, I'm like, yeah, okay, there's nudity and there's outrageous behavior. I'm like, but there's no story. The characters are ridiculous. There's nothing in this that connects it together. Nothing that I could, you know, hold on to.
Yeah.
And I just get sick of it and I get bored.
Yeah.
And this, yeah, like you said, there's a little bit of heart. There's a story running through it about their friendships. But not so much that it makes it feel awkward and uneven. It's just, it feels natural.
And it's not and this is the thing with Project X, what I really didn't like. Project X was nihilistic. I mean, it just,
oh, yeah.
There was no, at all, any sort of sense of obligation or responsibility or consequence.
No, and exactly.
And this one is there.
There are consequences. And the whole story revolves around trying to get their friend home.
Yeah.
So that he can get to this interview.
It's sort of like The Hangover for college students, only they're not piecing it together. It's all as it's happening.
Yeah.
Because he does, he gets lost and he goes crazy. And the ironically, one of the guys in it is from, he was in Project X.
Yes.
The one sort of the dorky friend. He was also in Footloose.
Right.
And he's a very charming buffoon.
He is. And he is the most obnoxious character in this movie. Mm-hmm. And even he is likable.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeff Chang, the one that they're trying to get home, he is the greatest character. He, you know, because you're usually when you've got a drunk 21-year-old in a movie, he's crazy or he's fighting or he's just, you know.
There's a real pathos to him.
He is adorable. Yeah. And you just, this is the kind of drunk kid that, you know, you're okay bringing him home.
You do feel for the kid.
Yeah.
And there's some crazy stuff happening in his backstory.
Yeah, and that's another one of the things that comes out along the way. There's a little mystery as to what's been going on in his life because these are old high school friends and they've kind of lost touch. Yeah. And they're finding out that, you know, things with their old friend aren't quite as they expect.
Yeah.
So
I liked it. I was
impressed.
I thought it was good. And what's funny is Jeff Chang, the kid who plays Jeff Chang, he's in the Twilight movies. And I just watched the last two.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad for some of the actors in those movies because they get so marginalized. Like her high school friends, like Anna Kendrick, who's a fantastic actor. Mm-hmm. She's marginalized in those movies.
Yeah.
Jeff Chang, the guy playing, whoever his name is, I don't know his name.
Yeah.
He's marginalized too. But he's great in this movie.
He is.
I give 21 and over a rocks.
I say it kind of rocks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's talk about box office. What do you think's going to win this week?
I am going to go with Bryan Singer this week.
Okay.
I'm going to say Jack the Giant Slayer, but I'm going to give it 22.
Ooh, okay.
It's a tough one.
It is tough. I'm going to go against my... I don't want to sound like I'm copying, so I don't want to choose Jack the Giant Slayer. I am going to choose 21 and over at 25.
Mm-hmm.
No. I take that back. 21. 21 and over at 21.
There you go. Sounds
there
good.
You go. It's probably going to be Jack the Giant Slayer, so I will defer to you. I don't know. I just think that there's 21 and over reminds me of Superbad. It that was the last big all night party movie.
Yeah.
And every generation,
other than Project X.
Well, Project X is awful. Every generation has to have one, and I'm hoping that this would be this generation's and not Project X. Whereas like the last generation, you know, like. The people who just got out of college, theirs was super bad.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, you had Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, yeah.
And before that, you had, like, Dazed and Confused for the people who just wanted to live in the 70s but didn't. And they loved that sort of thing. But, yeah, 21 over. So you said Jack the Giant Slayer with 22?
Yes.
And I said 21 and over with 21. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the DVD roundup, and we're going to talk about Phantom 2. Welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're actually going to take time to talk about the last movie of the weekend. Sorry it had to be shoved here at the back because
There's a lot to talk about this week.
Yeah, we had a lot of stuff. We had Oscars to talk about. We had, three other movies. We had to talk about Butt.
Well, yes. And the sequel.
And the sequel. So we're going to now talk about another film, which is Phantom. Ed Harris stars as a Russian submarine captain who must stand in the way of a rogue KGB element.
My crew has just returned from 76 days at sea. There must be a dozen boats better rested.
Squadron command is insisting on the most experienced captain and crew available.
Ruby'd like to tell us what we're risking 86 lives.
It's for our patriotic duty.
You know something I don't? Because our mission will be compromised.
That presumes you know what our mission is.
There are only two reasons why a boat would go rogue. One is to defect, and the other is to start a war. And I don't think we're defecting.
This is a smaller release. It's a smaller film, actually.
Well, yeah, this is one that I hadn't even heard about until you mentioned it.
And it's going wide. It's getting, as I understand, over 2,000 theater release.
Yeah, that's what I've seen, yeah.
And I had a chance to interview Ed Harris. And you can go to Film School Rejects and check out that interview if you'd like. And when I asked him, I asked him about the release. Do you like the smaller releases or the big releases? And he's like, frankly, I didn't even know if this was going to get released.
Hmm.
He just thought it was going to be maybe direct-to-video. But it's kind of cool that it is. But you have to go in knowing that. It's not this even a $40, $50, $60 million film. It's not $150 million.
A big budget summer blockbuster.
No. According to Box Office Mojo, I think the budget is $18 million, and it's definitely not $18
million. There
you go. It's almost all takes place in the sub. And one of my biggest gripes about movies nowadays is the inspired by a true story.
Movies these days.
When
I was a kid.
Fiddlesticks. Is the inspired by a true story. Because that's even looser than based on a true story.
Oh, yeah.
It basically means, we had this tiny little nugget of truth and we made all this other crap up.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one time where I support that use of that thing. Because the story is about, in 1968, a Russian submarine, a nuclear Russian submarine, just disappeared.
Hmm.
And they eventually found bits and pieces of it on the ocean floor, but they couldn't verify how many crew was left and all this kind of thing. And they found missiles that are not in there. And it was this big one, what actually happened. And so the director who wrote it also based some of it on a book and put it together of what may have happened. And it's sort of a possible story of what happened on this sub.
Interesting.
And going in, knowing that, I think that's a really neat thing. And
It feels
like a lower budget Crimson Tide type thing.
Okay.
Because you have these two strong characters, Duchovny and Harris, kind of butting heads over what's going to happen here. I won't go into too much detail into it because it's kind of neat to let it unfold. But it's a tense drama. And I think what's neat about it is being a submarine movie, it's all shot in that. So there's not a whole lot of locations.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go to Puerto Vallarta or anything like that. And it's actually shot in a real sub. There's one or two scenes, Harris was telling me, that were done on set, but all the rest of it were actually done in a sub of that class.
That's pretty cool.
With a red camera.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever been in a sub, they are tiny.
Yeah.
They are really small. And he was even saying that, you had to make sure you didn't hit your head because they weren't, it was all real joints and things butting out.
Huh.
So knowing that, I think, actually makes the film even cooler. And I liked it. I thought it was a neat film. Mm-hmm. I thought it was neat. Now, they don't do any Russian accents. So it's just, they're not in there looking for moose and squirrel or anything like that.
Oh, that's too bad.
Which,
I like moose and squirrel.
I like accents in movies, but I'll forgive him for this.
Yeah.
But it's a decent movie. It's worth checking out. I don't think it's going to do very well because it's so kind of not on anybody's radar.
No, it wasn't promoted at all.
Yeah. Really. But if you have a chance to see it, check it out. It's not bad.
Cool.
Not bad. I give it a kind of rocks.
All right.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. And now it is time for the world famous
DVD Roundup.
First one on the list, The Master.
We got a full week again.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, lots going on.
The Master, which was nominated for, three Academy
Awards?
Three.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars Joaquin Phoenix as a wayward youth coming out of World War II and finding a mentor in a L. Ron Hubbard-ish character played by Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's a love story. It's a platonic love story.
It is a strange story.
Yeah. It's not a very straightforward film?
No, it's not a very satisfying movie.
It's off the grid. But I watched it the second time. I'd seen,
Did
we'd
you?
Seen it.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it in a theater that doesn't have very good projection.
It's true.
I think they've changed the projection. But as it was when we saw it, in the screen sloughing and it's kind of half in focus.
Yeah.
And it was well known because they had a 70mm print of this movie running around, which we did not see.
No.
It looks fantastic on Blu-ray. It's actually a better viewing experience on Blu-ray than what we had.
Yeah.
And it actually held up better, I think. It's still this very not real terribly focused film.
Yeah, no, it's all over the place.
Yeah. But I liked it. I appreciated it more.
Okay.
I
good to hear.
Blow hot and cold on P.T. Anderson.
I do too, yes. So.
And then there's Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Woo!
Extended edition. Holla! I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was either.
This actually comes out on Saturday, I believe.
Yes.
It's sort of one of those midweek releases.
Something like that. Well, you know, it can't be on a school night because all of the girls have to stay up until midnight and get their copy. And we have slumber parties.
That's so true.
That's how it works.
It's so true. If you didn't think Breaking Dawn Part 1 was long enough, there's 8 new minutes added to the film.
Oh, great.
Which, actually, I've seen those. And they work. They're sort of these throwaway scenes that were tossed in.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as jarring as most most adding in extra scenes, but it makes the movie 8 minutes longer.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we needed from Breaking Dawn Part 1. Eight more minutes.
And then if you don't get enough of Breaking Dawn, Breaking Dawn Part 2 is also out on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, like you said, there's a slumber party on a not school night. Teenage girls can go and get both movies and watch them back to back
all
for 4 hours.
Night.
4 hours.
Oh.
So here's the thing. Breaking Dawn, you either are like, oh, I finally have the complete series in my hand. Or you're like, thank the holy God, there is no more of this.
I am in the latter category.
Until Lionsgate remakes the series.
Oh, yeah.
Because
there have been rumors that Stephanie Meyer is working on more.
Well, she's obviously going to work on more because she needs more money.
That's true.
Because I'm sure that her spending has increased. But also, Lionsgate came in to distribute this, like, on the last movie. So the Lionsgate is like, Summit got all the profits from everything but the last movie, so we need to remake this. I will not be surprised within 10 years or less.
Great.
There's going to be another one. Oh, dear God. These are terrible movies. They're awful.
And the last one, it's one of those movies that is so ridiculous that it's kind of entertaining.
It's just because
it's so bad.
It is. And I watched the commentaries on it because I had to write an article for Film School Rejects about the commentaries.
I'm so sorry about that.
It's even more ridiculous when you don't hear the dialogue to mask the insanity, the crazy lunatic ravings of Stephanie Meyer.
It is seriously insane.
It's the most, and it's like got the most racist vampires ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They got like Russian vampires.
I think this one, though, I laughed harder through this one than I did through any other movie in the series.
Well, you heard
me
laughing.
It's true, I did.
I was a little loud during this. One of the funniest things I heard on the commentary was Bill Condon's like talking about he gushes way too much over his stars. It's almost like, oh, well, you're trying too hard because Kristen Stewart's not that good.
Really? Understatement of the century.
Oh, yeah. And he talks about how great Taylor Lautner is. He's not.
Hmm.
Yeah. And he's talking about how they could all have careers in farther in film.
They could have careers?
Yeah, beyond this. Mm. And he's like, well, Kristen Stewart could be a director and Robert Pattinson could be a writer. And I'm like, okay, I guess. And he goes, and Taylor Lautner could be a producer or a studio head. And I'm like, oh, he's that stupid. he could run the show. Anyways.
Oh.
Let's talk about something really quick because we're running out of time.
Yes.
The good ones, we got Phineas and Ferb, The Perry Files, Animal Agents.
Which is wonderful.
Oh, I love Phineas and Ferb.
And this collection has a couple of the funniest Phineas and Ferb episodes I've ever seen.
Dooba, 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 dee,
dooba, so, dooba, dee, dooba, dooba. This is an excellent collection. It really is.
I love Phineas and Ferb. It's one of the best cartoons being made now.
Mm-hmm.
Silent Hill Revelation is in 3D. That actually came out a while back, but it's now the 3D versions of that if you really need to watch that. There's also How to Survive a Plague, which is about AIDS. And Holy Motors is out. Didn't really care about that one. Chasing Mavericks, cared about that even less. And then I got sent finally the disc of Undefeated, even though that came out a week or two ago.
Yeah.
So let's give that a shot. That stinker? I don't know. Breaking Dawn?
Yeah, I would have to say so.
The whole shebang?
Yes. Right. The entire Twilight series.
Everything.
There you go.
All right. Review wrap up. We have... Well, next week we're going to be talking about Dead Man Down, Oz the Great and Powerful. This week we talked about Jack the Giant Killer, which you said kind of sucks. I said kind of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
21 and Over, you said kind of rocks. I said rocks. And The Last Exorcism 2 gets preemptive suck. Phantom, you didn't get a chance to see. I did. I say kind of rocks.
All right.
So, in the meantime, if you want to get in touch with us, you can go to fatguysofmovies.com and all of our contact information is there. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.